Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your word that's about to come to us. Lord, we commit Pastor Banky into your hands. Lord, he will speak only as you direct in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your word today. Thank you because we have become wonderful students of yours. We know how to pray today. The right posture to take when we approach you. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Answer me like you are blessed. Hallelujah.
Praise
okay, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Okay, maybe you know how to answer that. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
All right, let's take our declaration of understanding. Then we're going to take our seats and do a bit of studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God in the area of prayer. Are you ready for that? Let's do one, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly. Welcome to everybody again this evening to today's School of Prayer. Again, let me just remind us of why we do the School of Prayer here. It's because prayer is very important. And it's important we do it properly. What did I say? Thank you. Prayer is very important and we must do it properly. Prayer is a sign, one of the major signs of faith is the fact that you pray. Prayer is a major sign of faith, sign that you are depending on God. People who don't pray are saying, God, I don't need your help. If you don't pray, you are saying, God, I can handle this myself. And Jesus said we must always pray, no matter how long it takes, it seems to us, to get our prayers answered. I don't want to talk about why prayers may appear delayed now. I just want to remind us that we must pray. That's the first point. Second point is that we must do it properly. We must do it properly. I'm sorry. Even though we don't want to appear like we are being critical too excessively, but sometimes you just want to help people. Somebody, you know, your friends will put links on their status to some of this prayer stuff. So I joined one. Not really joined, I just curiosity, I clicked on it. I listened for some time, and I told my wife, you can't persuade me this is praying. I'm sorry. I was very slow, calculated. Before I responded, I just like, I listened for a while. In fact, one time I was dancing, one of my kids was watching me. I said, it's prayer. Because the way it was going on, you were tempted to dance to the tongues that the guy was speaking, you know. It was so sweet. All right? After a while, now that was the first day. Today is the second day. I said, nobody can convince me this is praying. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something about the flesh. The flesh likes activity. Likes to feel good. It's a walk on your head. So you can get what you're asking God for. It's predictable. A lot of people will do it. When you've exercised yourself, you know, you start feeling as if, yes, we got it. So a man the other day describing, now what I want to say to you, please, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to help those who listen to me. Somebody says, I fasted 50 days and God spoke to him. See, and you have never done it. Don't worry. What does it?
Don't worry.
Don't worry yourself. Don't worry yourself. Just tell him, God bless you, sir. He's not going to get more answers than you. There was one man I listened to. Again, you stop only two things. You know, these days of social media and internet at your fingertips, Data is cheap. All right, so sometimes you just entertain yourself by looking at things on YouTube. And this guy finished talking about, he said something which was very interesting. He said, we preachers were not helping our congregations. He was rebuking himself. That if you know what we went through to get to where we are, and we're not telling you, we should let you know how he fasted for 100 days. See, this is the arrogance about this thing. You are telling me that's why you got to where you are. I'm sorry, it's nonsense. Don't impress me. I mean, don't try to. And the man was speaking, he said, the last day of his fast, the spirit appeared to him. Do you know, I shouted, don't listen to him. That is, even though the thing had passed, I was watching the recording, and whatever story he was telling happened long ago, all right, before he told the story, if it is true, you know, I just screamed, no, don't listen. Don't listen to that spirit. Don't listen to that. It's an angel. I said, don't listen to that angel. Please. I was like, don't. Of course, he had already listened. It's not as if, you know, like you're watching a movie or Samson and Delilah. And he's about to say, okay, the secret of my strength. You know, you're like, Samson now, please now. Samson now, don't tell her. You're about to die. Even though you know he died thousands of years ago. That was what happened to me. And I screamed. I said, no. I was alone in the room. I said, no, don't. Then, of course, he now narrated what the angel said to him. I said, either you don't know how to identify evil spirits, or you are lying to us. Either you don't know where somebody has come to deceive you, or this never happened and you are fabricating it. Yeah, because I knew they were going to lie to him. If you've been hungry for 100 days, any spirit that talks to you is a liar. You can't see straight. Your neurotransmitters will be shunting, misfiring. Your nerves will be shunting. Don't try and deceive us. Moses, the longest faster in the Bible, was in the presence of God. You are in your bedroom, they are carrying you to hospital and back. Who are you trying to impress? Let no man glory in the flesh. Let no man glory in the flesh. Fast and hide it. Must you tell us? You know what you tell us? You are glorying in the flesh. Why have more power than you? That's why you talk like that. Pastor, I beg you, stop. What's painful for me is that you are misguiding people. Some of these things you guys do, they're not necessary. You think God is hard to persuade? And by the end of the day, when he finished telling the story, I felt like, I said, this guy, you are very ignorant. You didn't go to a place where they trained you well before you mounted this pulpit. He said his great-great-grandfather took away what belonged to them. Then I said, the person now blew the trumpet, told the father to go away, so he should stretch his hand to the man's body and collect it back. I said, you took it back. The one Jesus came to give you is not good enough. You took it back. Are you normal? What belongs to me? No man can take it. I don't care when you lived. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Please, don't glory in the flesh. Some of you, if you don't sweat and pant, you've not prayed. I heard, were you the one time the other day, when, if you go to car courses now, all of them know how to contort to pray. Very, verily I say unto thee, they are not praying. They are exercising. Young people should exercise. You think it's prayer? It is not prayer. Let me tell us something about prayer again. In prayer, you are imploring God. Just bear that in mind. You are talking to somebody, a king, a judge, a father. Bear those three things in mind. He's a king, he's a judge, the first two go together, and the second one, he's a father. So just think about when you go to court, how you comport yourself. Just think about when you come to your father, how you comport yourself. Those are the two fundamental thoughts about prayer you must bear in mind. That you now know whether you are praying or you are not praying. When you are praying, you are not wrestling with Satan. Did you hear what I said? You are not fighting the devil. It is not necessary to lose your voice. All of these things we put on just to make ourselves happy. Please, I understand that sometimes you can come to your father, you can come to the judge, you can come to God,
And because you are in pain, you break into tears. I hope you're getting my point. That happens sometimes because, and look, when Hannah was praying and her voice was hardly heard, but Eli said she was behaving like a drunken person because she was like, you know, she couldn't hear what she was saying. She was mumbling. And Eli went there and said, put away your drink. This ogogoro is not good for you. Say, sir, I'm not drunk. I'm burdened. I'm pained. And that's what you are seeing. Yet the Bible tells us that her voice was really not heard. I hope you're getting my point. Please, like I say, I don't mean to be critical, but I will say it. The one that we want to pray, we'll put a mic to our groaning and be shouting. It's sure. If you wanted to groan, it doesn't need a microphone. When you are speaking with a mic, you expect me to hear. You are not trying to talk to God. When the mic is in your mouth, you are talking to the rest of us. So you want to guide us. You want to help us. You want to quote scriptures. You want to tell us what to say. You want to lead us so that we can follow and pray together. I'm not trying to talk to God at that time. If you are going to be groaning, how be it in the spirit, you utter mysteries to God. Abi, take the mic away from your mouth. Stop harassing us. I'm saying this just to bring some balance to this bad habit I've seen people create in Christianity, and they call it praying. They twist like demon-possessed people. They say they are praying. You want to know, the chances that you're actually afflicted by demons is 95%. I just leave the balance 5% just in case I don't know. You have a disorderly spirit. Read your scriptures. Paul would never allow your type in his congregation. You are a master of disorder. If you read Paul well, say, you want to speak in tongues? Say, everybody, I want prophetic words. 2, most, 3. And first scan whether there's somebody that has the gift of interpretation. Otherwise, every other thing should be between you and God. I don't want to hear your voices. Many of us would not be allowed in a congregation where Paul is in charge. You know why? Our spirits are too disorderly. That's a fact. So everybody, please calm down. When you want to pray, I've told you. Remember, you are talking to a king and judge, 1, and 2, your father. How will you comport yourself when you come into the presence of such a person? I know Pentecost, you see, when I grew up there too, all right, as a young Christian. We glorified bad things with odd arguments, which because I was part of us, I accepted. That some people will come to Christians and say to the Pentecostal, why are you people shouting so much? God is not deaf. The answer they used to tell us is that he's not nervous also. That is, he's not edgy. Noise does not disturb him, which I agree with. Your noise doesn't disturb him. But the fact is that he's not deaf. And it doesn't require you to shout loud. If you are the loud shouting type, do it in your room. Don't bring to the congregation of the brethren. It's not necessary. That's a very sound argument. That why do you shout so much? God is not deaf. Your argument that he's not nervous, I think is inappropriate. What should be? It was an argument like this. Oh boy, now so body take hold me. That is as I'm feeling. Sorry. It's how I'm feeling. And I know God doesn't mind. And that's a sound argument. Where I'm going is that when you now turn it to a habit, that every time you pray, there has to be disturbance and commotion in the atmosphere until the governor has to order all churches to seal their windows. You should know there's a problem. You want to hear the truth? It's a bad habit. You're going to lose your voice and God won't give it back to you because he didn't tell you to scream like that. Please, I'm talking. It's the reason why I'm talking like this evening. I feel like just trying to put a balance for young people. Especially because of what you said last time, that I should go to campuses. I should see what they are doing now. See, who taught them that's how to pray? Who taught them? You can't take one thing that happened to, you know, maybe like, you know, Jesus went to the garden. He prayed until he bled. They will now come to church now with knife. Prayer time, we'll cut ourselves until blood comes out. Is that not going to be crazy? He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the of course, that's of all the miracles that he personally performed. Resurrection, God raised him from the dead, but that he personally performed. Is that okay? The greatest of them was the raising of Lazarus. Walking on water was inferior to that. To raise Lazarus, he took intercessory prayer. He did not raise Lazarus with the same anointing with which he raised the son of the widow of Nain. He did not raise Lazarus with the same anointing with which he raised Jairus' daughter. No. How do I know? You will see there was a long build-up. There was a long build-up. And as he was approaching that place, the Bible says he groaned in himself. That's where I'm going. Some translations will say he troubled himself. And we only know he prayed, really, because when he got there, he said he did. He said, "Father, I thank you because you have heard me." That's how come we know. If we are the ones that want to raise Lazarus up, we will hire, we'll get sound equipment that can fill a stadium. And we'll have people groaning in groups, bending over, rolling for 5 days beforehand. And we are the champion. And the guy on the keyboard is hitting it, wham, wham, wham. And the drum is banging, banging, banging. So why are you making so much noise? He said, "We are about to raise Lazarus." But what did the master do? He got there. "Father, I thank you because you have heard me." He said, "In fact, I'm only saying it loud so that the people here can hear and believe." And next, he whispered. That's what I believe. He didn't scream, "Lazarus, come forth." It was not necessary because Lazarus was dead. Ordinary unconscious persons. In fact, if you ever if you ever been to a hospital where, look, one of the ways you test that somebody's really unconscious, pinch him. He won't answer you. Screaming loud doesn't do anything. So no intelligent person shouts loud for a dead man to hear. So God was not speaking to Lazarus physically. He was speaking into the realm of the spirit. So if all he did was to think it loud, you know what if you understand, that is, the thought alone will wake Lazarus up. Because it's not the physical ears that Lazarus was using to hear him. But he spoke, people heard it. Didn't raise his voice. "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus showed up. And that's the greatest of his miracles. How did he accomplish it? He troubled himself. He spoke to the Father, as far as we are concerned, in quietness. It's good for you to exercise your lungs if you wish to. It's your lungs. Are you getting my point? It's your throat. But don't even grow up or teach to anybody or create the impression that is how to pray. No, just the way you do things. Nothing wrong with it. You won't die and go to hell. God will not refuse to hear that. "Frankie, I'm not going to listen to him." Why? The voice was too loud. Didn't you tell him not to shout? He's not going to say that. If he said, "Lord, help me." Or he shouted, "Lord, help me." He will give you the same dosage of help. There's no difference. I hope you're getting my point. Screaming loud is not what brings him in. It's as long as your voice is directed to him and there is faith in your heart. That is what matters. Because I see a generation that's learning bad habits and they call it prayer. Because there are so many prayer movements now. In which both the person leading prayer and those praying along, they just look at them and say, "Are you okay?" Listen, you can pray jogging. Amen? God is not angry. You can pray lying down. God is not angry. The best positions I would recommend for praying is standing with hands stretched out or on your knees with hands clenched. But there's no hard and fast rule about them. I'm just going to say that I'm not saying that if you want to run, fine. If you want to pray so that you don't fall asleep, you are pacing up and down. Perfect. But at least know that none of these things in themselves constitute prayer. I hope you're getting my point. I need to say this again just to remind us. The greatest weapon in prayer is not groaning. The greatest weapon in prayer, I'm sorry to say, no disrespect meant, is not tongues. People say if you speak in tongues, the devil will not understand. If he understands, what will he do? Apostle, if he understands, what will he do now? Did he not prepare a table before us in the presence of the devil and not the angels? What could they do? So leave that thing. It's not the greatest weapon. Fasting is not even a weapon. Not whether it's great or not great. The other ones that I mentioned, they are even there. This one is not even a weapon. The greatest weapon in prayer is what? The word of God. Father, you said, Lord, it is written. Lord, according to your promise, Lord, did you not say that's the greatest weapon? That is the greatest weapon. That is the greatest weapon. That is the greatest weapon. So, Pastor Mark, did you say fasting is not a weapon? No, it's not. Fasting is what you do when you are busy. What I'm trying to say is, let me explain what I'm saying. If you are busy praying, you cannot be eating. I don't know. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Fasting is okay, good. Let's study small economics. It's called opportunity cost. You know, opportunity cost? Everything has a cost. If I'm supposed to go and buy this device in the market, I bring some money, I give to them. All right? Now, for some of you didn't pay attention in secondary school, they teach opportunity cost. Now I'm here to, must I teach you everything? Taught you biology, taught you astronomy. Leave me to do Bible alone, please. Now, opportunity cost is simply, let's go and buy this. That same money could have bought a new, let's say, television. That same money could have bought a number of shirts and trousers. Is that okay? Somebody say fuel. You should know what is worrying some people at the back. Some people say fuel. Don't blame you. At 1,250 a liter, it has become a matter of opportunity cost. So that thing you did not buy, that you lost, that so to speak, actually technically is a cost to you. So because of you, this small device, I do not have my new shirts. Because of you, this small device, I do not have my new television. So that is an opportunity what? Cost. So it's not just money now, but what else could I have used that money to do that I did not do? The way they've been looking at me, she finally understood it after all these years of going to school. When you see her, I say, wow, why were you not my economics teacher in secondary school? But that's what they call opportunity cost. Now, so in life, everything you do has some inferred cost, even if it's not overtly stated. For example, you are here now, and they are playing, assuming you're one of those football addicts, and right now, Real Madrid is playing Real, is it Kamakosa? What do they call it? Okay, that thing you just said, all right. So let's assume, because I don't want to, before they think I'm praying in tongues, let's just leave this thing. So you are here. So your presence at this school where we are teaching about prayer, all right, is costing you your viewing the match. You're watching the match live. So we'll call that your opportunity what? Cost for being here. Fasting is like that too. I could be with my friends and my family eating and dining. Rather, I am in my room meditating and praying. So I displace the time of relaxation and enjoyment, and I replace it with a time of concentration, praying, meditation, waiting upon the Lord, listening to what the Holy Spirit will say to me from the pages of Scripture. That is what fasting is. So, if you have not eaten and you are at work, you are not fasting, you are working. That needs to enter Christians' minds. If you are not eating and you are idle, or you are playing PlayStation, and you are like, wow, this Mortal Kombat, whoa, go kill this guy. Honey, should I bring your food? I'm fasting. And you are in front of the television playing Nintendo. You are not fasting. You're starving. There's something people do. Fasting 4 o'clock, then we'll break it at 4. To me, it has no meaning. What are you doing between now and 4? If it's between now and 4, I'm in the office giving lectures to students with dry mouth. And they're wondering, what's up with Oga? His mouth is so dry today because I have not eaten. Brethren, Christianity, that's what I'm talking about. You are not fasting. You are hungry. I'm a marketer. I have my car, I have my goods, I'm going from one place to the other. And I get to one of my clients' office. Oh, you're welcome, please sit down. Can I get you a Coke? He said, no, don't bother. Then I said, why shouldn't I bother? Because I am fasting. You are fasting. What I have in front of me is baby diapers, or noodles you have come to sell to me, or we are discussing the latest order your company is placing with my company. and we are negotiating how much I will give, how much I will not give. Brethren, please, collect that coke and drink it. You are safer. You are closer to destiny like that. So that you will not go and enter a deal with your brain shunting. You might say, but you agreed for 2005 a pack now. You say, when? That day you were fasting, you will understand why you agreed. Because you wanted to get out and go and sit down. Because your muscles ache quicker if you have not eaten. I don't know how many of you ever did this gym business. That some of you look like you've done it before. Did you? It shows. Even if it's 10 years ago, there's just something about guys who've been there. They look like us. Are you getting my point? We have this. I don't need to tell you that me has never got that. Doesn't smell. The guy doesn't have time. He's from Kenya. In the run, they run 20 kilometers. The Lord is good. There's one thing you learn. You learn it early. If you go there without glucose flowing through your system, your muscles start shaking after a while. Forget, you don't need to train your... Look, just go in there. Do your aerobics, you know, run. Your cardio, you get your heart warmed up. They now pack iron for you. Start... When you drop it, you won't know why suddenly your hand is shaking like this. I used to have that shake would go for like 2 days. It doesn't stop after I leave the place. Oh, yes. Next morning I wake up, I want to carry. I just noticed that there's this tremor that just persistent. So I learned. When I'm going in, I must put something. Sometimes it's ordinary biscuit, dry biscuit. I hold and just drink a glass of water. There has to be a flow of energy. Do you follow my point? That's what I have. That's just my own observation. Now, where I'm going is the sea. So you go and sell what is not your own. For a price, did not tell you. Don't lie. You are not fasting. You are busy. They are two mutually exclusive things. Fasting is focus. Fasting is what I'm doing when I refuse to do the other things because I want to pray. I want to meditate on the word of God. I want to listen to the voice of the Spirit. That thing I do, neglecting other things, is what is called fasting. So you see in the Bible, it says that as they ministered to God and fasted, what does that tell you? They were in that service, praising, worshiping, giving thanks, and sharing the word of God. And nobody had the time to go and say, let us go and eat. Like once, I went for my alumni fellowship. When I turned to my brother, Pastor, I said, this is what I call fasting. Because we started in the morning. Really, we start very early. Prayers like 7 a.m. till 8 or 7:30 there. But anyway, we started around 7 in the morning. Immediately, for certain reasons, we used to have breakfast early, but it used to cause disruption. So we say, look, leave breakfast till after the morning activities. So from that 7, we prayed. 8 o'clock, we go straight into study of the word. Then after, it was a long Bible study, all right, quite some time. So we study scriptures, then we come together and discuss. Now, that particular day, so we're supposed to now eat maybe the first meal probably come up around 11, 12, thereabout. But this particular day, it was from praying and worshiping to Bible study to questions and answers to preaching. Basically, the food arrived, but they had to keep the food. Why? Brethren were what? I want one word. Busy. Oh, busy with the word. Prayer. Study. So by the time we finished there, it was already far into the afternoon. Finally, they now brought the first meal of the day. I said, this is what I call fasting. We're not trying not to eat. We're just too busy with other things. Meanwhile, all that while, there's water circulating which you can take and quench your thirst. I mean, for goodness sake. You're in Africa. It's hot. Some people say, no, I now decide. Like one man said, I now do white fasting. I break with garri and coconut. You know? Yeah. See, people of God, please. Can I beg you, stop all these inventions. I don't know where we got it from. You know, we just believe that we must treat this flesh harsh. Sometimes I'm sorry, please. This is not to be critical. This is trying to help Christians. All right? Because some of these things we add to the word of God. I want to try and balance it. I've been to church before where they ask, okay, the first day we are going to, they grade it. This fasting is for 2 weeks. The first week is with juice. And then we break in the evening with food. By the second week, we drink only water and break in the evening. By the third week, no water, and no breaking in the evening for 3 days, and all of that. You are writing it down. See, I'm sorry. Please, I'll be honest with you guys. All right? Don't bother. What did I say? That's not a fast. That's a... I don't know which word to use for it. It's an exercise, thank you. It's keto diet or something. It's something. It's not a fast. It's not. What are you doing? They say, okay, they will not break with fruit. The fourth week will not be eating fruit. So what's I supposed to achieve for who? Do I look like a Hindu to you? This man, he used to go to a church. For them to ordain you, you will not eat and drink for 5 days. I said, I don't want your ordination. Are you ordaining Hindu priests or Buddhist monks? What are you up to? Why do you make people do what Jesus did not do? You saw him do that to Peter. You know, we come up with ideas that sometimes I don't get it. You know what happened? He was the only one that went out. He prayed the whole night, came out in the morning and picked them, chose them 12. And one of them was the devil, and he said it. I've chosen you 12. One of you is a devil. We will say no. He said, they will go and lock him in the room for 7 days. He's not going to eat. But did he said, you won't eat, Abby. Do you drink at all? How many days?
7 days.
You drink only water for 7 days. Intermittently. Like my mother said, who did you kill? You must have killed somebody. What was that supposed to achieve? Capacity. Inner man. This one says penal. This one says inner man. This one says capacity. The flesh was that. Do you guys read the Bible? Because Paul said this is to have no effect on the flesh. That's what Paul said. Said this harsh treatment of the body does not do anything when it comes to disciplining the flesh. Let me tell you how to kill the flesh. Carry it and put it on the altar. It's a spiritual exercise. And say, Lord, from my head to my toes, from the tip of my fingers on the left to the tip on the right, I give to you. Use it for your purpose. Say it in prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, if it's us that's going to the cross, we don't eat for 1 week. Jesus left the supper and went to the cross. Ah, I lie. He went to supper. They ate. They didn't go for communion. They went to eat. The Bible says, after they had finished eating, he took one of the pieces of bread left and then broke it, turned it to a ceremony. From that, they now moved to the next phase. They want to ordain you, you won't eat for 7 days. I'll be honest with you, I can't even, look, see, you can abuse me all you want. I will not come for the ordination. Not because I can't handle it. Yeah, because what I want to preach today is called full persuasion. That's what I want to teach. I'm just not persuaded. And that is too much for me to do without full persuasion. If it's 12 hours, I can never, because that one happens every day anyway in the course of events. 7 days or more. I will ask you, Peter, read your Paul in the Bible. He didn't do it. Unless there was a problem. When you can't see, you won't eat. That also happened to him. After Jesus struck him, Jesus strikes you. Jesus struck him, and that's what happened to him. Let's put things in context. This one of getting up to go and punish yourself first so that God can answer you, my brethren, is not Christianity. And no pastor should brag on it. Pastors, please stop bragging on it. I think it annoys the spirit. Stop it. I heard a man saying that, I can't tell you what we did to get here. He said, you think that's what you did to get here? He himself knoweth not how. You don't know. You don't know. You are giving the credit to a place where it doesn't belong. You did many things. You don't know. The day you helped the poor at 12 midnight, risking your life, was the day God anointed you. But you don't know now. You think it's a fasting you did. What did Paul say? When he found me what? Faithful. He committed to me in ministry. Some people is sweeping that God used to anoint them. They told you, sweep this compound, keep it clean. You know, service is 7 every Sunday morning. Without anybody telling you, come at 5. You start cleaning. By 6:30, the first person arrives by 6:30. They don't understand it. They've been thinking it's angels that clean that place. They didn't know that you are the one that you come much earlier than everybody else. You clean the whole place. It's neat when they come. And they're wondering, what's going on here? And you did that for a few years. And God said, He has been faithful. She has been faithful. Therefore, promote that individual to another place in ministry. He said, but after we fasted for 4 days, anointing came upon you. God said, no, you swear for 2 years. Anointing came upon you, but you don't count as anything. Please, let's not learn habits that God did not give. Anything you want to do, just open your Bible and check who's been doing it. Just ask who's been doing it. Some things are ingrained in Christianity. When people like us say it, it's hard for people to accept. They say, no, it can't be like that. I've talked like it because they told me that this is sweeping this generation. People are working on that. Is the, see. They are building the flesh. They think they are destroying it. Yes. Yes. They are giving glory, credit to their human effort in, you know, things like we fasted, we groaned for 2 days. Oh, man, so what you are seeing now in ministry, this is how we bettered it. I said, stop lying. Stop lying. People have done greater things than this. They didn't do what they are doing. So what is their own key? Stop lying to us. I know some of these things you say, they are not true, okay? But you don't know they are not true because somebody, you heard somebody else say it. What is praying? Remember, when you pray, you're making requests. There are two important words, petitions and supplications. Supplication is that you are begging for something. Father, do this for me. Petition is very similar, but let's just separate them for the purpose of this discussion. In petition, you are like, you bring your case. Lord, this was what you said, though. You said this land you give to us. From the Euphrates to, what's the other boundary of Israel? Anyway, from here to here, you said it's our land. Look at this pool of Ammon now. They say they want to collect it from us. That's what they call a petition. You brought the matter before a judge. As part of supplication is, have mercy on me. Why? I know you now. You are my father and you are a merciful God. You are a merciful father. You are a loving father. So I'm asking you, have mercy. I have not done all I was supposed to do, or this one that I did is wrong. For sin is wrong, it's called confession. Have mercy. That's a form of supplication. Supplication becomes intercession when, if you see a brother committing a sin that is not unto death, you now say, Lord, please have mercy on him. Have mercy on her. That is intercession. But you are begging somebody for something. Petition is that, look, Lord, you promised. This was what you said. No evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. Confirm your word in my life. I ask you in the name of... That's petition. It's almost legal terminology. I hope you get my point. But when you're making supplication, it's like, this is not what I deserve. But because you are good and you are loving, because you are kind and you love me, I am asking. That's my confidence. That's why I come boldly. And you know what? That affects your attitude. The greatest... Look. Oh, God. Testimony is just passing through my head. Now, yours doesn't have to be like this. But for me, the greatest results I've gotten to issues in life tends to... I get up to pray between 2 and 3 in the morning. Now, nothing spiritual, but some people, that's how they get up to come and fight demons. That is the best time to talk to the Father. So I say, that's when the activity of demons is highest. So I have a question. So how is that your business? Witches are in their coven. That is when they dance the fastest. They are doing running man fast. Question I ask you is, how is it your business? So you want to counter the activity of demons at 2 a.m. Brethren, that is when you are supposed to be asleep. If you are not asleep, talk to the Father. Personally, this is a personal testimony. It doesn't have to be like that with you. I have found that when issues come up, and it's not that the banjo I need to pray about now, just something heavy on my heart. I say, okay. I just go and I eat. I do nothing. Like nothing is happening. I go and sleep. But mentally, I'm programmed. So as soon as my eyes pop up, because that happens, unless you are really, really tired and fagged and everywhere is cold, you tend to wake up once or twice during the night. As soon as my eyes pop up like that, I sit up. Lord, there's something I want to talk to you about. It takes about 30 minutes, 45 minutes at the most. I've seen dramatic results. Like I said, that time is not, there's nothing special about the time. It's just that for me, the heart is calm. Everywhere is quiet. Nobody's distracting me. Everybody's asleep. There's a story I like to tell. I've told it many times. The woman that I happened to told the story directly to my wife. So that you'll be sure, I want you to know that this is not long, third-hand story. Told the story directly to my wife. All right? That's a simple story. She paid somebody to do a job, and the person didn't do it. She's a widow. Now, let me tell you something about being a widow. It just means that the husband is not there to go and fight the man and collect her money. The man was supposed to clear a portion of land for her and clear it. So she paid the man. Day one, the man didn't do. Two, three. It didn't turn to weeks. The man kept on saying, I will do it. And there was nothing she could do. This man refused to do the job. So you know what she did? 12 midnight, she got up and dragged the big chair and put it there. And said, now, see, this is what I'm talking about, prayer. Some of us are banging our head on the wall. She didn't do that. She said, Lord, please, if you don't mind, can you sit here? I need to talk to you. Yeah, that's what she did. She literally put a chair, the big couch, and said, Lord, please sit here. And she just set up a court in her mind. So she stood and called that man's name. I hope you're getting my point. As if to invite him. Say, Mr., let's assume his name is, give me a name. No, Ajaleku. Mr. Ajaleku, don't suffer for our hand by here. Find me another one. It says Silvanus. Okay, good. So he said, Ajaleku is somebody's name. I hope you know that. Ajaleku is somebody's name too. Oh, okay. No, it's a real name. It's a real name. No, it's a real name. Anyway, so let's say Silvanus. So he said, Mr. Silvanus, please come, stand here. There was no physical Silvanus there, all right? But she just wanted to, she summoned him and faced the chair and said, Lord, I paid Mr. Silvanus this amount of money. He was supposed to do this for me. It's been weeks now. He's been posting me up and down. Lord, avenge me. Use the words, avenge me of my adversary. Mr. Silvanus has turned himself to my adversary. Lord, you are the only one I can come to. And she thanked God for it. And she ended the prayer and went to sleep. She woke up next morning and was going to work. Passed by that plot of land, it was clean. This happened at 12 midnight. Around 8 in the morning, the plot of land was clean. And she saw the Mr. Silvanus there working, about to finish the work. So she stopped her car and came down and said, what's going on here? Mr. Silvanus. That one said, don't come near me. Witch. Yeah, backed off from the woman. Don't come near me. I didn't know you were a witch. That is the original witchcraft. I've told you that we are in the deeper cult. You know what happened? I don't know the details, but we can work it out. All right? What happened? As soon as she was done with that prayer, God dispatched two angels. And they woke him up. Silver, you are still sleeping. You are owing that daughter of the Almighty. He tried to sleep. They choked him. Said, you are sleeping. You know, there's when the angel, when a human being holds you by your collar and raises you up, you know how bad it is. When an angel now does it, he wraps his head around your nose, your neck, and everything, and carries you up. You can't breathe. I'll be shaking you up and down. Your leg is not touching the ground. See, waiting now. Where's the money? Go and do the work now. Now. Yeah, it's 2 a.m. I don't care. When you were taking the money, didn't you know? Finally, I think he must have gone there around 4 in the morning and started work. So that by 8, he was almost done. He could not sleep. He could not. The angels came and terrorized him. By morning, he was done. And that's what she did. She didn't knock her head. She just went to the Lord. Just played a picture in her head. I told you, you have come before a judge. Put down her petition. And said, Lord, look at what this man is doing. That's what I've said to you many times. If anybody says, look, I leave you to God, don't agree. Say, no, don't leave me to God now. Why are you bringing God into this man? Okay, how much is the money? He said, but you're supposed to give me. It's 15,006. Okay. The guy said, don't worry. Let me just round it up to 20,000 so that you don't have to tell God about this thing. He said, no, it's been so long. I'm going to tell God. I say, ah, okay, 25. Don't tell God. That's how you should handle the person and say, I'll leave you to God. Eh? They leave you to God. Like we said the other time, you don't understand what it means to leave you to God. It means that God will not enforce the recovery of the debt. It's a terrible thing. The painful part is that if he collects it quickly, it's good. Sunlight doesn't collect it in a hurry. He doesn't collect it in a hurry. By the time he comes, that money, of course, first, you're going to pay four times. When he's recovering, you can't owe somebody 100 naira and he leaves you to God and God will take 100. God says, do you know how much my time is worth? Is that all you're going to pay? 100 for your money, 300 for my time. Then they say they'll leave you to God. Tell the person, don't leave me to God, please. You, I can deal with. God, I can't. And now, this is not a joke. Just check. Depends on how you leave you to God. Is he right? If he's really on the right side, don't let him go. Beg him. Tell people to beg. Say, please, really, I will have paid you. I don't have the money. I'm not trying to scam you. I really don't. He said, but your phone is expensive. Have you not been, look at your car. Have you not been buying fuel? Some people don't know. They'll be buying fuel and be owing you. You're not supposed to buy fuel when you're owing like that. I won't drive my car. Is it making money for you? If you're not a taxi driver, any money, by you shouldn't drive it. Park it. And save money by entering keke and bus. Why you pay? You know, so like one of my friends tell me that his brother, we show him the phone he's using. Now, look what I use. Look at the phone I'm using now. Say, this is what we guys are using. They'll call him at night and say, Nabe, can you send me a small recharge card? And my friend is only like, excuse me. You just showed off your phone to me, called me poor. Let's use today's kind of phone. Because you are using an S24 Ultra, Samsung. And me, I'm using an only A13. And you're laughing. You say, look at what you are still using. Then you call me at night. Now I need to make a call. If you wire me 1K credit. I want to just break a piece of your screen and sell it. Where am I going? Yeah, when I say you don't drive, I mean it. I'm not kidding. That kind of thing. Say, I don't have money. Are you driving about? What are you driving about for? You don't think paying somebody you are owing is important? Park the motor car. Tell the person, see, the reason why I'm not driving now is because I'm owing you. Then he can forgive you between him and God. Like we thought was it on Saturday? Yes. When God says vengeance is mine, he's not joking. When he says vengeance is mine, don't just join this. What do you want me to do? Will I kill myself? And you are owing me. Let me not tell you what thunder should do to people like you. I'll just leave you for God. That's how you know that the thunder I was asking for is cheap compared to what God will do. You collect his money back. Some people go and sell bad things. When the person you sold to now comes and says, this thing, I use it for 2 days. He said, no, Nasa, buy him now. You didn't use it where it break. Your destiny is breaking on credit. You don't know. Anyway, let me not sit on that matter. But what I've said, why I told that story is that woman that she went to a living judge and said, avenge me of my adversary. Prayer is not your gyration. It's not a dynamo. So the quicker you ride the bicycle, the more power it brings out. You know generator? The one they use hand to start. When you wind it, do it. That's not prayer. Some of us think that the more you wind, you wind, then suddenly God will start. I hope you're getting my point. Why am I talking about that today? That was not my message. I just wanted to just tell us why we do what we do. Faith, let me go. Of course, the most important thing about prayer, of course, we're talking about, is faith, actually. Everything I've said is about faith, all right? Faith is what, the Bible says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Remember, is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church, all right? Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith, it said, we heal the sick or save the sick. Now, we now say prayer of faith is a type of prayer. No. All valid prayers are prayers of faith. What did I say?
All valid prayers are prayers of faith.
If they are not prayers of faith, they will not work. If it is not a prayer of faith, it's invalid. Sometimes we teach, we tell ourselves, there's a prayer called a prayer of faith, there's a prayer called a prayer of intercession, there's a prayer called a prayer of praise. No. Whether it is intercession, or praise, or thanksgiving, or petition, supplication, all right? They are all prayers of faith. They are all prayers of faith. If they are not of faith, they are ineffective. I hope you're getting my point. The opposite of prayer of faith is not prayer of intercession. No. It's simply prayer of unbelief. Prayer of doubt. And there are different types of prayer of doubt or unbelief. There are prayers not offered in faith. What do I mean? A prayer in which I'm just copying the way Pastor Okemute prays in church. I call it copycat prayer. That's a prayer of unbelief. There's a prayer of show. Jesus said, you see them. They make public prayers to be seen by men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have what? Their reward. There's a prayer of double-mindedness. Now, that's the one I want to talk about today. I want to talk about full persuasion. In which James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not such a one think he will receive anything from God. That's a prayer of unbelief. Why? It means today. He says, I've seen it before. God can do it tomorrow. It's the president that should do it. Why was he praying about falling in this country when we have a government? It's a prayer of unbelief. Those are the opposites of prayer of faith. What is a prayer of faith? The one that looks up to God, hangs on the promises of God, knowing that God has the power. The prayer of the heart that approaches God, not on the basis of his own righteousness. And there are sometimes, you know, we pray stupid prayers within their prayers of faith. I need money, Father God. You sow my seed. That's a prayer of foolishness. Asking God to do something for you based on what you have done. That's not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is that which relies on that which Jesus did. Approaches the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. The prayer of foolishness is the one that says, Lord, you will supply my needs. God said, why? Because I have paid my tithe. That's a prayer of foolishness. It's a prayer of confusion. Lord, if the first is holy, the rest will be holy. I have given the first year's salary as an offering, so you will supply my needs the rest of the year. God said, when did I tell you that? You don't write your own. Have you heard it before? You make a covenant with God. God said, nobody, listen to this, nobody initiates a covenant with me, and it stands. He said, but Hannah did. No. Hannah did not initiate. Hannah finally recognized. Yes. He said, what do you mean? You know, we believe that Samuel was from which tribe? Ephraim. Good. But people believe actually he was a Levite. Yes. Even though, you know, Levites scattered all over Israel. So, his family was in Ephraim. Yes. So actually, all the firstborn sons there, who did they belong to? Wasn't it? The Holy Spirit just kindled in her. She just realized why she needed Samuel. There was nothing she said. Look, the only thing she gave to God. Who can tell me what she gave to God? Let's not play the game. She didn't give Samuel to God. She gave the bull to God. Samuel was God's own. If you go and read it well. I don't have to teach about that now. But read the scriptures well. She didn't give Samuel to God. Samuel belongs to God. She was supposed to redeem him by offering that 3-year-old bull. But that day she got there, she said, no, I'm not going to redeem the boy. She gave the boy to the Lord and still gave the bull and walked away. Where I'm going is, I don't think that you just get up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I shall win 2 souls every day. And at the end of 5 years, you'll make me a multi-billionaire. So I've entered the covenant. God said, your head is not correct. Your covetousness is pushing you. And I should say, Lord, sign here. Me? Sign? I only sign the agreements that I drafted. I can't let you draft agreements for me when you don't know anything. I'm talking about prayers of unbelief. People will tell me that I have made a covenant with God. That what? That I will do this and God will do that. No. If you are the one that started it, it doesn't work. God has to be the initiator. And as a Christian, you do not have the right, the ability to initiate anything. You say, what do I mean? I will tell you. Imagine now, you have an office. I don't know. You have an office is not good enough. Let me look for something else. Okay, let's do the days of slavery. All right, that's just easy one. You bought a slave. Slave, you paid money. His whole life now belongs to you. Now knocks on your door. Oh, God. Good morning, Master. Master, I've decided that the food you are giving us in this house is not enough. So, I want to cut more grass than I'm supposed to cut. We will now double the food. Won't you sell him the next day? What did you just say? Okay, no more food. I double the grass you are cutting. Why? You're a slave. You don't have a choice. You belong to him. So you can't come and say that this, the thing that belongs to the master, you want to use to buy something from the master. Yeah, I have another illustration. You're in a shop. I employ somebody. All right? The shop is yours. You now employ Steve to come and sell for you. After, by 12 o'clock, Steve is a good salesman. He sold things worth about 25,000. Now says, I need bread. Now takes from 25,000 to buy bread from inside that same shop. And he's eating it. Says, Steve, did you pay for that bread? He said, yes. From where? From the, I've made a lot of sales today. So he took from your sales money and bought your bread. And he's eating it with confidence. The guy said, he don't go chop tomorrow. The one where he chopped today said, he deduct from his salary. Nonsense. Yeah, that's how it is when we Christians go and say we want to make deals with God. You don't own yourself. I hope you're getting my point. You can't take the life that belongs to him, a life you say you have given to Christ, you now want to use it to do something and expect him to reward you for that, which is use his life to do. Prayer of unbelief. Anytime you approach God based on what you have done, you are praying not of faith. The prayer of faith is dependent only on what God did for you in Christ Jesus. He said, Pastor Banky, but he said God rewards our works. That's his problem. It's not a foundation for prayer. I hope you're getting my point. The reason you prove faithful, it moves to another level. That's a different matter. You can't go to the office now and say, sir, I have served well on this position as a chief clerical officer for 5 years. It's time for you to promote me to assistant manager. Can you say that in the office? If the Lord decides that, listen, I'm going to do that, if the master says he wants to do it, fine, he's within his rights. But nobody, you can't decide, I have served well. And you now say, no, I've been a chief clerical officer. I want to be the, and I now want to be assistant chief accountant. And you might be looking like, no, okay, no, sir, I thought about it. Let me just make me head of HR. Human resource management. Why? Because I've been very faithful as a clerical officer. So you can't make demands from the Lord based on what you've done. You can't. You can't. Prayer is, real faith is, I pray based on what he did for me in Christ Jesus. I have hope in his mercy. My faith is in his promises. That's what real prayer is. That's what real faith is. So when James said a prayer offered in faith, all right, the opposite is not prayer of intercession. If you are going to intercede, it must be by faith. If you are going to worship, or, well, let me use the proper words. If you are going to praise, it must be by faith. If you are going to offer thanksgiving, it must be by faith. If you are going to agree in prayer to ask God for something, it must be by faith. All forms of prayers must be prayers of what? Faith. We are careful to wipe unbelief out of our hearts. I hope you're getting my point. All right, good. All of this, I was just trying to explain what we do here in Kingdom Word. Trying to teach people how to pray. When you have knowledge in your heart, faith is built into you automatically. Do you get my point? When you have understanding, faith is built. Remember that man, the Roman centurion. What helped him receive the spirit of faith? His knowledge of authority. I am a man under authority. Then I have soldiers under me. I don't have to go there. I issue forth a what? A word. I issue forth a command. And they do what I say. So he says, speak, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, wow, I have not seen such faith. Not in the whole of Israel. And this was a Roman. What does that tell you? That understanding opened his heart to receive what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. The same thing, the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, the same issue. They said, this bread does not belong to dogs. Essentially, let's thank God she's not a woke modern woman. And you call yourself a man of God. You're calling another human being a dog. That's why some people don't receive anything. Pride. Anyway, you never seek rich. When you are sick enough, you'll be humble. The woman said, well, I understand that the bread belongs to the children. What about the crumbs that fall when the children eat? Don't the dogs eat that? That was the spirit of faith. Jesus said, wow, great is your faith. So that is why I say understand. That's why I say some of these things I want you to understand. Because some of you have not been able to shake your head aggressively. And you've been thinking for that reason that God has not answered you. Now you know, shaking your head aggressively is not necessary to receive answer to prayer. I hope you're getting my point. It's those things, when you have the knowledge, when you have the understanding in your heart, then the spirit of faith can come into your life, then you can pray and have results. Now, why is prayer important? Because it's the way we tap God's power into every environment. Please, let me tell you. You have a family? Father. Still after everybody has gone out, all by yourself. Eh? Your wife is not even there. Pray. There's a kind of prayer you pray. Look, you don't need anybody to join hands. Nobody groans, you know, when you join hands and groan. No. This one, you don't even know what, you can't talk. That wife that has gone out, you pray for her too. The children, one by one, you mention their names in prayer. Children are going, you know, there's one problem I have with children. I suppose, have you noticed? They have this bad habit of growing up. It's the will of God. You know the problem with it? They now go out, you can't watch them. They now take your money and go and enter a bus by themselves. You know, when they were small, you can carry them everywhere. But the time comes, they know you can't do that anymore. And they don't even want it. Mommy, please leave me now. My friends are laughing at me. I just want to drop you there. No, I will go by bus. You know, now where I'm going is this. One day, to the glory of God, my children were in children's church. So their teacher was trying to make a point. He asked, how many of you go to school by yourself? Like you go by bus, you come back by yourself. To his surprise, only two people in the whole class put up your hand. My son was one of them. Ah, yeah, he came to meet my wife. He said, Mama B, God bless you. I like the way you guys are raising this boy. I said, how long will I be carrying him up and down? Where is the Reverend Felix? He was the one that helped me show him how to enter bus. So you put him in the bus. Two of them will ride together for like a week. Finally, he wait for him at the bus station. It was close to from our office. The boy will come out. So you give him money. Enter the bus here. When you get there, you drop. Because they've done it together for like a week. And that's how the boy started. Now, you think I did that easily? Or more? That's when they're groaning in the spirit. The first day he went by, he said, oh, my Moza, Father, you will get home in the name of Jesus. Father, I sent your son. So I quote the scripture, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling place. In the name of Jesus, Father, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are filled with the habitations of cruelty. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you. That's how you do it. Some people think, no, I like you. You're bold. If you're bold, you don't get sense. You never see trouble. Nothing like boldness. Oh. You get on your knees and do what? And pray. You get on your knees and pray. That's what you do. But you are not going to church, but they say, go in here and there. No, you go and pray. Literally. You see, you're not with prayer, you're not trying to persuade God. He's already persuaded. You are just yielding. I hope you're getting my point. You are saying, Lord, I give you the right and authority. When my children go out by themselves, Lord, send an angel in front of them. Send an angel behind them, as you have promised, that they have an angel that behold your face every day. Did you not say, you will give your angels charge concerning me and my household? You make petitions based on that. Look, anybody, I tell my wife all the time, those who don't pray, how they manage, I don't. That's why you smoke anyway, because you have to do something. Yeah, you have to do something. You have to do something. You have to use Ogogoro to sleep at night. You have to knock yourself senseless with something. Because the worries of this life, The worries of this life, they are plenty. Either you handle them by yourself or you give them to God. If you are not giving them to God, then your blood pressure is handling them. Your sugar level is handling them. Your mental state is handling them. This life will drive you mental. You keep money, they say, I want to buy a motor. Finally, you got 1 million naira. Then they say, subsidy is gone. Then the price of car went from that 5 million, now become 10 million. Some people, you know, some people are just angry with federal government. You don't know why. You think it's ordinary anger that you are having. If they see Bola Tinubu, they are going to kill him. Do you know why? The year they were supposed to buy that motor car, the dollar went from 700, it became 1,002. While they were chasing 1,002, it became 1,005. They finally gave up. Let me just tell you something. It was good it happened to you early in life. I hope you have given up. Yes, I hope you have. So, Pastor, what about the money I saved? Let me tell you what to do with it. Don't bring it to me because you think that I'm looking for your money. I'm not looking for your money. I don't know how much it is. Let's just assume it's like 4 million naira, all right? You know what they're going to do? Maybe you go to church on Sunday, eh? And they say, cheerful giver. God just carry 500,000, drop it there. You say, no, you see, you have to win one way or the other. You have to tell us, all these people are testifying that they give 10 million. Do they have 6 heads? Your opportunity for you to say you gave 2, and you want to be fighting over it. If you didn't do this, you would have gone to buy that motor car. Is that also? And now we're buying full at 1,250. So now you don't have the money again, just carry the money. Just share it. She is 4 million. I go to church and I drop 1 million. Offering basket. Bam. And I say, look, we give God. Naira. Personal bragging. At least you now feel good. Abi? It's a feeling you would never have had if you had bought that nonsense motor. Then you see, come on, think about it. You have a wife. You have 2 or 3 kids. They've not had a serious party in the last 5 years. You say, check them. Is it good? Take under 1 million. Tell your wife, say, look, madam, we're celebrating combined birthday and Thanksgiving. And I want you to wear something. Oh, cut small. Go and buy her phone. She has been using cellotape bandage for her phone. And you call yourself a husband. Are you not ashamed of yourself? I'm telling you. And you look, you'll be your wife wants to answer text. She has to turn and face the wall. It's not true. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. Are you getting my point? You walk down to the mall and stand. Make sure she's standing beside you. So you have to pick one. Don't you like that one? So no, no, it's not okay. What? Yeah. By then, do what some people, the unbelieving brethren do. Now put screen guard, concrete case, everything. Yeah. Some people, by the time you finish plastering, at least you live there. Make sure the case is very colorful and nice. Is it not good? This is something you would not have been able to do if the price of cards didn't go up. I hope you're getting my point. She will dress, your children will feel happy. Carry all of them to the mall, let them eat. And feel happy. Say, man, that day has been anointed. At the end of the day, enter your bus, enter the keke, take taxi, and rejoice in the Lord. You want to hear the truth? The day you start driving that car, you'll be surprised. How did this happen? Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. The day God will just lift you up to that level. You wonder, Habba, I was, do you know I saved for the car before? For 2.5-3 years. You start thanking God for how he turned things around so that you were not able to do what you struggled to do until the time came when he made it easy. You buy one car in January, just look and say, tell your wife, really, I just bought this one because it looked like it fit you. I should get another one before June. Sorry, is that not good? If you believe it's good, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Let me say this by the Spirit of God. You know, God doesn't like when we change because of circumstances. So I was believing God for this again before, but dollar is now 1,006. So I told God whether I can, instead of that car, whether I can just, that one was 2.3 liter engine. They don't give them that's 1.6. You know, Ford is expensive in heaven. And God is looking at you. Are you talking to me? I say, Lord, you know, I know things are rough, so just things are really rough. For you and for us, all of us. I mean, we are the body of Christ. If things is wrong for them.
Things are rough for the body. Look, let me tell you what I used to do. God helping me. If you price something out of my range, I increase the one I want. I don't know where I get my point. But let us assume that I wanted a car and it was 5 million, then now it's now 10 million. I will not ask God for one that's 25. You know why? Now, I can't doubt. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I can't do anything about it. You know, when it was something I could do, I struggled. But now it's something I can't do. I have no choice but to rely on God. But I won't scale it down. I will not scale it down. Maybe there's one part of time you wanted to own a house in. In your mind, land there is maybe like 8 million naira. You now go there one day. And that is sorry, is 14. You know what you do? Go back and say, Lord, I wanted one plot before, make it two. Maybe you don't have the money. No, sorry. What difference does it make now? Can you pay? You can pay. So just say, Lord, instead of one plot, can you just make it two? Because this one now is only you that can supply it. Since you are the one supplying it, let's quickly stretch you now. Because you are God. I mean, if you don't spend this money on us, who will you spend it on? Abi? If you don't spend it on us, who will you spend it on? Just double it. I'm serious. I'm giving you something. Somebody listen to me. That's the commandment. And you know what? If you don't do that, God will be angry with you. You will shrink it to have a plot, though. Sometimes God takes us through this adversity just so that we will now leave it for him. They don't want like, God, I don't try. I'm tired. I struggle 2 years now. You know, price is going up faster than I can catch it. I just wash my hand off. I say, Lord, take care of it. I hope I minister to somebody there. Very, very important. The Lord is good. I've spent so much time. What do we do? Okay, the Lord is good. Okay, that was just to help us understand some things. Why we pray. And the things that make for answered prayers. Now, what I want to talk about today, let's see whether I can just start it and then we'll continue next time if we can't go far with it. I won't be surprised if we can't go far with it because I've spoken quite some time now, for some length of time. Let's go again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We read this last time, we're praying for the country last time. And please, let's continue today. From verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, now please notice that God does that. Or if I send pestilence among my people, and when I do all these things, my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, we forgive their sin. Notice the word singular there. Their sin. And we heal their land. So their wicked ways come out of their sin. Singular. Now please, I want you to understand that God says that in every land I have my people. I said the last time, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he kept the man whom he had made. Let me just quickly refer to that again. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Please notice it. I want to go up quickly somewhere. Yeah, verse 8. Verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Please notice that. The Lord placed the man in Eden, and he now gave him a commandment. Verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden, to cultivate it and do what? Read it. And do what? Answer me like you're there. To cultivate it and do what? Let's do one more time. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and do what?
Keep
keep it. But don't let them snatch it from you. I'm applying the word keep. Don't let Satan drive you out of it. Cultivate it and do what? Keep it. Preserve it. It's your responsibility. The earth was created for a purpose. Never forget it. The earth was created for a purpose, and you cannot fulfill the purpose of God for you. Listen to this. If you are not in the portion of the earth he created it to be in. Did you hear what I said? Please hear this very clearly. I'm not missing words about it. The Lord created this earth for a purpose and for man. All right? Then he planted a garden, you see, eastward in Eden. And there he placed a man whom he had made. And that was where he used to come to see the man. I hope you're getting my point. If you go and read your scriptures, God used to give specific directions to people concerning geographical arrangements. For example, he would tell Abraham, you will take your son, your only son, whom you love, you will come and offer him up on a particular mountain. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He couldn't offer that son on Mount Gilboa. He couldn't offer that son on Hebron, a mountain in Hebron. He could not. He had to go to Mount Moriah. He couldn't go to Mount Sinai. It had to be Moriah. And it was not a nearby mountain. He had to travel to get there. It was important to God where he offered up Isaac. Jesus had to be offered up in the same place. You couldn't take him elsewhere to go and offer him up. God will tell you, this is where I have kept my name. I hope you're getting my point. There's a principle in these things. There's a principle. Where I'm going is that, so, God has his purpose, and I'm saying to you clearly here, you cannot fulfill his purpose just anywhere you like. You're just into scriptures, you know it. So one of the ways by which Satan ensures that you can't fulfill your purpose is to displace you from where you are supposed to fulfill it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to be sure you heard me well. One of the ways Satan makes sure people do not fulfill their purpose is to displace them from where? Look, if you see what he did with Adam and Eve, what was his aim? See, you are going to get out of this garden. And it worked. As soon as God says, man has become like one of us, he kicked them out. And God blocked them from entering that place again. And he said, if they come back in here, what will happen? They will eat of this fruit and live forever. That is, that garden was their key to eternal life. Are you getting my point? If they had stayed there, walked with God, they would have reached a point in which God would now say, now you can take of the tree of life and live forever. But what happened? They lost it. They lost their garden. This is, can be applied figuratively now, but there's also a literal aspect to it. If your name is Jacob, you can't leave the house of Laban quicker than you're supposed to leave. If your name is Joseph, you must go to Egypt. There's nothing you can do about it. Otherwise, you will never enter into that destiny. And Joseph understood that the destiny of Israel did not lie in Egypt ultimately. They had to go back to the promised land. So he gave instructions concerning what they would do with his bones. I hope you're getting my point. There's a scripture I'm taking from here. He said he put Adam in the garden to do what? To guard it and keep it. Don't let them snatch it from you. Keep it. Protect it from intruders. Keep it. Make sure it is well with this garden. This is where God wants to come and meet you. Keep it. Small aside. All right? Wherever you are living, keep it. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, what I mean by keep it now is that make sure your house is clean. Make sure your house is neat. I hope you're getting my point. See, I have a friend, all right? He deals in cars, all right? He's done that for a very long time. Those days, you know, for him, number one thing about his car, he used to tell me that his interior. The exterior of the car is very important, and for me, the exterior is very, very, very important, all right? But he said that the interior is more important. You know his reason? He said, when you are driving, that's all you see. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
That when you are driving, you can't see the outside of your car. So that the interior to him is number one. Of course, the engine is number one, the state of the car. Next is the interior. So the car has to look nice inside. See, this is when you are driving. This is what you enjoy. You don't enjoy the color. You don't enjoy. You say what you really enjoy is what the inside is like. That is why I'm telling you, keep your house nice. Make it a rule. Your sitting room should be well arranged. If your luggage is too much, go and reduce it. Go and throw away the one you are not using. Yeah, keep the place in order. Keep it in order. When you are approaching your own house, it should be nice. It's a small aside though. But it's good. You should have comfortable places in your house where God can meet you. Yeah. Look, let me tell you something. I don't care how poor you are. You have a place where you can stay alone. What if it's not in my house? Then go to Unity Park. You know that Unity Park? Have a place where you go. You know when it is busy and when it's not busy. Have a place where you go with your Bible or with what do you call that thing? Your earpod, yes. So a place where you can sit and just be alone for 2 hours and nobody's disturbing. If you can't go that far, that your house is overcrowded. Then start coming out at 1 a.m. Let your neighbors think you're a witch. Is there a problem? When everybody has gone to sleep, you take a stroll outside. 1 hour, sit on in front of your house where God can meet with you. I'm not teaching in depth about that, but what I've told you is very important. You must have the ability to be quiet. You must. Don't be involved in, you're busy all the time. I've told some people, this is why you will land in hospital. Do you know why? God wants a quiet, a private word for you. Say in church, you are the pastor. You finish preaching, everybody has circled around you. The entire office, you're counseling, you are laying hands, they are coming, they are bringing all the trouble. They are coming, let's go and drop this. What's the problem? Let's go and drop it on pastor. Come, pastor, right on your head. Boom. Then you finish that day, everybody's straight. You reach home, you are telling your wife of all the problems you have to solve between here and now and Wednesday. When you reach home, daddy, all the children are on top of you. They are climbing you like mountain. You are playing with them. And you should. And your wife says, please help me help that one finish the homework. Yeah. And so you don't work. No, God has done the cut eye for you since. God done the cut eye for you. God is looking at it. Say, this boy. So one day, you'll just wake up in the morning. My stomach, oh. Your wife will call your friends. They will bundle you, put in the back of the car. They will not take you to you're a good pastor. They take you to a good hospital. They put in the private room. The doctor will now start investigating. After 2 days, they can't find anything wrong with you. But that 2 days, you're not praying for anybody. You're the one they are praying for. You're not praying for anybody. They have formed prayer in church. Can I go shagaba, pastor? His stomach, it shall be well. You don't even know. But now, they put, he needs to rest. No disturbance. 2 days, you will fast, you will pray. Your wife will do all the homework by herself. Your children will be climbing themselves. They won't have your daddy to climb. They can break one or two things before you come back. But at least, for 2 days, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Pastor Yadigo gave a testimony once. He was going abroad. When he reached whichever country, I guess it's UK, pilot announced, say that the tire not going to come out. Do you know what that means? Well, let me say. The undercarriage refused to come out. So they could not land. It's a big plane, international flight. Of course, they have engineers on board. So some were there walking. They walked. 2 hours. I don't think it's 5 minutes. What do you think? 2 hours of the pilot just flying around town. They just be flying around, burning for, just flying around, praying that the thing will work. So, of course, started praying. Now, if you're on that plane, if you don't pray, you really are not planning to go to heaven. Yeah, because you see, they told that they can't land. In case you do not know, if that thing doesn't come out, they have to belly it. And that is not funny. That land on its belly. It's not funny. No, because they first go and dump the fuel. Then they will now, you see them line the airport with all kinds of fire trucks. Yeah. And your pilot will now come. You pray for, near my God. To and to make a long story short, do you know what? He says, I prayed. Father God, if it's time to come home, he was praying and praying. But the Holy Spirit told him that it's because of you, Jonah. It's because of you, the plane cannot land. Why? He said, because once you reach there now, I won't get any attention again. So now that you are here, let's be talking. So start praying, meditating, taking notes. After 2 hours of God has finished communicating with him all the things he wanted to communicate, you know some angels, the angel will hold it. The angel holding the tire finally left it. And the engineer said, okay, everything is okay. The pilot now announced that they could land. They now landed peacefully. Jonah was probably in first class or business class. Jonah, J-E-A, Adeboye. Now, please, all of you, men of God, I hope all of you are listening. If you don't want to go to private ward or keep a plane hanging around for 2 hours and it can't land, please give the Lord his time. I hope you're getting my point. It's a smaller side. The main thing I'm talking about is that he gave them the garden to do what? Cultivate it and do what? Keep it. Keep it. It's a place of destiny. Keep it. It's a place where God will interact with you. Keep it. Let's focus on the prayer aspect. All right, because it's a school of prayer. There are many more things to say about that, but let's focus on the prayer aspect. What does prayer mean? Okay. Does God expect this man to use his energy to solve the problems of the garden? No. That's where prayer comes in. Let's get practical. This nation we are in, please, I don't want to mention the name of our country because anybody can apply this to any country. You can be listening from Ethiopia. You can be listening from Australia. You can be listening from, you know, Ukraine. And in fact, if you are listening from Ukraine, it's important you listen to this. Because your president now is in America trying to tell. He's talking to three people. The current American president and both who are likely, one of whom will likely take over from the current one. So he's having a meeting with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump to tell them his plan for winning this war. And Russia said, it's a joke. You're not winning this war until our objective is achieved. He's coming for authorization so he can use American and Western long-range weapons to strike into Russia. And please, if you are listening to me for Ukraine, go and pray. I don't think, you should pray. You don't want that war escalated. If you are listening from Lebanon, go and pray. If you are listening from Sudan, go and pray. If you are listening from Gaza Strip, and if you are listening from Israel, don't let my brethren deceive you. That you are the people of God, no evil shall befall you. It's Christian deception. They are deceiving you. Jesus has spoken a word. Your house will not have peace until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Don't let my American brethren deceive you. Go and pray. That's what prayer is for. The place of appointment, the garden that God has given you on the earth, all right? It is yours to keep. It is yours to keep. It is yours to keep. I said I want to talk about full persuasion, all right? Maybe we'll continue next time. But let me just introduce it. If you don't understand what I'm saying, people don't see. Let me tell you how faith works. If God says, I'm taking you into the promised land, you must want the promised land. I don't know whether I get my point. See, this is what God does. He offers you the promised land. This land I have given you. Then he throws it like this. Run after it. You get what I said? You know what I said? He throws it like this. And some dogs go after it before you. Because I'll outrun the dogs. Fight them for it. Why did you not just give me the promised land? He said, no, because I want you to want it. I listened to Derek Prince those days, and I read it. I think I actually read it, but I have this, the messages now. How to get God's best. I read the transcript. Number one key that Derek Prince gave us for getting God's best was to want it. He said, if you want God's best, rule number one, want God's best. Play of words there. If you want God's best, rule number one, want God's best. That is, you must desire it. You must be willing to risk your life for it. It's the reason why God promised the people a land. And he did not clear the giants out of the land. The Hittites were there. The Amorites were there. And the giants, amongst all the Perizzites, the Jebusites and all of that, scattered amongst them were giants. The brothers of Goliath, they were there. And God took them, said, this is the land. And they say it's a good land. He said, go and take it. He said, but there are giants there. God said, I know. That's why I've said, this word, I keep repeating it. Our kingdom is not of this world, amen?
Amen.
But wherever we are, the kingdom of God must be established. Do you get my point? And listen, this God cut, look, we discussed last time, I don't want to go over it again. God broke the places into, you know, he broke the land into geographical entities, governmental entities. And in each one, he plants his people. I hope you're getting my point. In each one, he plants his people. This is what he's saying. You must want the land. Do you understand my point? You must what? You must want it. He gives you, see, this is the land. It's beautiful. He said, but there are giants there. He said, but there are giants there. Because I know what I'm doing. If you want it, I'll give you. And this is what I'm talking about, geographical location and all of that, okay? And I'm saying this again by the Spirit of God. Thus says the Lord to the church in Nigeria. If you want this country, I will give you. I hope you're getting my point. That's what he's saying. If you want this country, I will do what? I will give you. The truth is that people don't want, I said this last time, that's what I was saying. Today I wanted to teach about full persuasion, but time, you know, my time is kind of out now, and I want to close now. Okay? Now the main problem is that people don't understand that God expects you to, from the depths of your heart. Let me tell you something about faith. Without faith in your heart, God cannot answer you. So what he does all the time is to test your faith. Now, not because he doesn't know, but many times you are praying, he wants you to know that, see, I can't answer you. And you don't know why. Let me show to you why you don't have any faith. He said, but I've been going to church every night, praying. We're talking about country now. Praying for this nation, praying for this nation. God says, but you don't love it. You're not willing to sacrifice for it. God said, let me prove it to you. What I'll give you is money. Now I have given you money. All right? Then now I am going to give your wife pregnancy. I'm going to give you money. And let her go and have the child. And now start sitting down with your wife and your friends. Which country do you think is best to have my child? UK is good. Mm-hmm. Ireland is good. Mm-hmm. Canada is good. I mean, even Ukraine is not bad. And you're thinking, we can think Australia and United States. And you're thinking, and God calls the angel, say, listen to him. Then he's going to be on his knees tomorrow. And they'll be praying that she'll bless. It doesn't even cross his mind that it would be a blessing to deliberately say to somebody, this land, I want to claim it. Yeah, that's it. Now, you want to know the truth? God is not angry. He just wants you to know. So next time you now go and hear somebody like me preach. And God says, see, let me tell something to you. God is very faithful. He's very faithful. The problem is us. We are not persuaded. You know, I'm giving you the prophetic word concerning the country you are living in. The problem it has is that the Christians are not persuaded. And I'm telling you something. See, Reverend John was telling us, we're following one man. I tell my wife, what did they worry, John? That is so hot in his body. But want to know the truth? That's why Christians make the mistakes. They think it's by political arrangement. God said, see, forget your arrangement in politics. If you really want the country, I will make the sultan president and he'll work for you. That if, see, it's not about politics and card. All those of you are carrying PVC up and down. Let me give you money and give your wife pregnancy. Let me see what you will do. Then you are mobilizing. You see, let me tell you something. You cannot materially fight to execute that which you have not gained spiritually. Did you hear what I said? You cannot go outwardly to fight to win that which spiritually you have not yet accomplished. You have not yet gained. No, you can't. You'll just be kicking against the goats. Keep kicking against the pricks. Just struggling, badging your head against the wall. Because in the realm of the spirit, you have not yet conquered that territory. Why was it that the people of God could not enter the promised land? It's just one thing. They needed it to be more comfortable than Egypt when they are going in. That's all. That was their problem. Because every problem they had, what was the first thing they said? Who told you to take us out of Egypt? No, when they got to the edge of the promised land and they said we can't enter, what did they say? Let's appoint a leader to do what? Take us back to Egypt. See, that was the reason they didn't enter the promised land. Nothing, the giants were not a problem. It's just that deep inside their hearts, they didn't want the land more than they wanted Egypt. That's what I mean by full persuasion. So what are you saying today? Okay, let me not say that one. Let me just say this one. I'm saying those who want to continue to pray for the nation, there are demands. What are your own demands? I don't know. But God will show it to you all the time. There are demands. And except you are fully persuaded that God actually wants me to own the land. Now, not I don't mean a plot of land now. I hope you're getting my point. As a whole nation, as a place of his purpose, stop wasting time praying. See, when they call prayer in church, just go and join. Father God, I want to travel. Give me peace. But on national issues, on the destiny of the... Don't bother praying. Because if you are going to pray, God will make demands. Later on, we'll talk about children. All right? But God will make demands. What are you saying? What are you saying to your children? Remember, I'm talking to my wife. I said, you see the problem of the country? People are there praying. This country... Okay, and they are praying. God said, okay, fine. What do you want it to be like in 15 years? Say, look, first, let me remove my children. We'll talk about it. God said, leave it. Don't bother. Don't bother. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter. I don't know whether I get my point. It does not matter. It doesn't matter. And that is why, no matter how hard you pray, God doesn't listen. No matter how much you arrange and collect PVCs and support one candidate, God does not listen. Say, why? You don't love it enough. You are not fully persuaded. I'm talking about to pray for the country. See, my own is not just to raise prayer points. No. I found, look, many times I've prayed with people. I'm not starting that story. Many times as a pastor, you are praying. Look, I like one thing that this man said, this woman said. No, not a woman. I quoted him last time. I listened to one of his messages. He said one day a woman brought her child. The child had some hearing issues. Brought to him for prayer. And just before he prayed, went to minister somewhere. Somewhere, one part of China or something. So just before he prayed, the Holy Spirit just told him, don't pray for the child. He said, why not? Tell the woman to take the child to hospital. So he brought the child, just said, madam, I'm not going to pray for this child. The woman said, why not? He said, the Lord said you should take the child, go and see a doctor. And the woman started crying. Why was she crying? She was relieved. And she told him simply, I actually don't have faith for this kind of thing. That only came here because our church people put pressure on me. That actually there's a particular doctor that I'm supposed to see. But out of fear and shame, I came because my pastor, the other brethren, said this is the right thing to do. So when the prophet said no, God said go. She was relieved. And then he now prayed for her that the doctor will know what he is doing and the work of the doctor will be successful. And exactly what happened. He would have been there praying, I command miraculous healing. The woman just looking like, when you are done, she will go home. My brethren will have been what? Satisfied. And that prayer would not have been prayer of faith coming from her. They could not have been in agreement. And that's why pastors need to talk. Don't just be laying your hands recklessly. Talk to people. What are you thinking of? Where's your level of faith? Can we be at the same level so that when we pray, we'll be in agreement? If we're in agreement like that, then God can answer us. Because now we are praying by what? Faith. A lot of people, no, they don't have any faith. They don't have. And that is what the problem is. And you want to know, I'm telling you what the problem of this country is right now. There are not enough Christians who truly believe. You know what believe now means? I don't mean believe in God. Believe that God says, I should take this land. Believe that God wants to bless me here. Believe that God can do something here. Most of us are just praying prayers of survival. They don't want to die next week. So they pray so that bandits won't get them. They want to have enough money to eat and to drink. And as soon as God gives them the opportunity to escape to where there is peace. And you know what's happening? Such persons are polluting the prayers of the saints. And it's not effective. And it's not effective. It's not effective. For you to qualify to pray for a country like this, you'll have to start making sacrifices. Some of you say, I've saved money to go and do my master's abroad. God said, no, go. These are I'm being practical. I said, these are three universities I wanted to choose from. Yeah. One is a federal university, one is a private, the other one is state. Choose. But you're not good anywhere. You will not need dollar. And that's God telling you, you won't need dollar. You'll be saving money for postgrad. You say, you're not good anywhere. I hear some stories sometimes that my body will shake. I say, Kai, are we this foolish? They told me one of my colleagues the other day, let me not tell you this. Well, no. Someone was telling me about it. This guy is a very skilled surgeon. I said, what is he doing? He said, he's not doing anything. Why? He said, because his wife got a job as a nurse, and so they ran to the United States. I said, so him, Munko. I had a story recently also of another man, a very skilled surgeon, specially trained. All right? His wife got a job. They gave him a job in a big hospital in Nigeria. I said, no, because his wife has gotten a job in America as a nurse. So he went there, he and a woman quarreled. After they finished quarreling, they scattered. Finally, he just collapsed one day and died. I've given these two people as examples because, you see, God is saying, listen, Banky, like my son posted on his status today. I think I have it somewhere. He said, the problem of Nigerian church is not trial, it's prosperity. Those who are running up and down actually are the ones that are prospered. Last time I talked about the sin of rejection. Remember it? I said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, not sins. That rejection is why people make confusing decisions. I don't know whether you're getting my point. There's only one thing, and I'm giving that what I believe is prophetic to the people. There are certain persons that are supposed to hear me, not everybody. As I'm done talking like this, some people started discussing. This pastor does not know what is going on. They never abused you before. Okay, so one boy abuses your face now. That foolish boy. I told that one, he will learn. I told she will learn. Forgive him. I hope you're not angry with him. Forgive, even if you were angry before, I command you in the name of the Lord. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against Pastor Dami. Do you get my point? Yeah. It's important because he will learn. The only thing that I hope he learns easily, because one way or the other, he must learn. People, sometimes you finish talking like this, they gather and be talking nonsense. Please, all you nonsense talkers, I am not talking to you. I'm not angry with you, I'm not talking to you. When you tell me how your father made mistakes, it's between you and your father. I don't know him. I am talking the word of God now. I've finished preaching before people talk about the fact that this pastor don't chop. That's why he's talking like this. Yeah, people have, the way they toss away the prophetic word of God, I feel sorry for them. One said, that was the one is the most foolish I've heard. He said, I don't know African demons, African witches. That's why I'm talking like this. Yeah, they said, this pastor does not know African witches. Me, I don't know African witches. Did I come to preach about African witches? Am I a minister of African witches? Do I know them? Do I care? Yes, you are right. I don't know them. But that's not why I'm talking the way I'm talking. I talk the way I talk because I know the eternal Jesus. I know the heavenly Jesus who rules on the earth. I know the Jesus who's before whom every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. I know the Jesus who everything is under his feet. Anyway, so if you're amongst those who sit and say, I don't know what I'm saying, I'm not angry with you today. Today's the day which I'm telling you, I'm not talking to you. Yeah, today, all I'm going to tell you is get out. Who called you into the discussion of the elite in the things of the spirit? Who called you into what they call the inner council of God? We are talking now council matters here. We are talking about people through whom God redeemed the land. We are talking to those who God said, I have an eternal purpose. Will you let me do it through you? The other day, I looked at some things happening in the country. And I said, you know what? The prayer I prayed, I said, Lord, bless my children. I began to tell him things that I wanted to do for my children. And when I say my children, you know, I have two sets of children. What are the two sets? The biological one, who are also spiritual. People like this big man there. That one that's... His head is on his chest because he's been walking the whole day. You understand? Yes, they are my children. But then, beyond that level, are those who say, God, this word you have put in this servant of yours' mouth is for me. Yeah. That's what I mean when I say, God bless my children. Those who make choices based upon the counsel of God that God helped me to give to them. And the prayer I prayed was not just spiritual. I prayed that God, they will be chancellors and visitors of universities. I prayed that they will build refineries like Dangote did. I hope you're getting my point. I prayed that they will lend nations, so sign a check for in the country $1 billion. I pray that God will make them employers of hundreds of thousands. In summary, I pray that they will possess the land. Yeah, matter of fact. Let me say to you, my children will possess the land.
Amen.
They will possess the gates of their enemies.
Amen.
Now, hear ye the word of the Lord. Many of you like to laugh. Your children will work for my children.
Amen.
And to break through for them. That is, you are laughing now. But your children will come to my children and they will go and testify of the breakthrough that one of my children gave them a job. See, you think God created all his children to be equal? No. Say, your brethren will serve you. That was a prayer he gave Jacob. He said, be master over your mother's children. So when I pray my prayer, don't be angry with me. I'm talking about those who hold on to the word of God. Those who say, Lord, through me, you will execute your purpose on this earth. Listen, your children will be mighty in this land.
Amen.
Say amen like I'm talking to you.
Amen.
You will be, because Jesus Christ prayed for those who heard him and those who heard those who heard him. I hope you're getting my point. He said, the word will be on your mouth and on the mouth of your seed and your seed's seed. That's how it is. So you listening directly, you will possess the land.
Amen.
I say you listening directly, you will possess the land.
Amen.
And your children will possess the land.
Amen.
Till Jesus comes, you will have dominion.
Amen.
And that's how I'm going to summarize it. I said, till Jesus comes, you will have dominion.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Till Jesus comes, you will have dominion.
Amen.
Through you, God's influence, God's kingdom will spread on the surface of this earth.
Amen.
He said, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And that scripture will come to pass in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say it as we close. You will possess the land.
Amen.
Your children will possess the land.
Amen.
Let me give you one more word. You will not be afraid of giants.
Amen.
The giants will not displace you.
Amen.
I said the giants will not displace you.
Amen.
From the place of your appointment, where the Lord will come to and say, where are you if you were not there? From that place, the giants will not displace you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The temptations of the devil will not take you out of your garden.
Amen.
The promises of Satan will not take you out of your garden.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you will possess the land.
Amen.
The land that God has given you, the land that flows with milk and honey. Giants may appear to be there, but you will possess that land.
Amen.
You will dwell in it.
Amen.
And no one will be able to kick you out of it.
Amen.
They will not be able to kick you out of it.
Amen.
You will keep the land that God has given you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord and just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Let's give the Lord thanks and say, Father, we bless your name. Give the Lord thanks because he is on your side. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O Lord. And shall not pass away. O ancient of days, the kingdom of God, of Christ, of our Christ is established in this land. It's established in our hearts. And we are where the Lord wants us to be, doing exactly what he wants us to do with the resources provided. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we bless your name for the word that we have received. And you've again injected faith into our hearts. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, quickly, let's not.